Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, RV, motorcycle, whatever it may be. They'll make sure you're completely insured. They'll always update policies to make sure you're completely insured. They're going to get you the best price. Wherever they can save you money, they will save you money. It is all at Purdy Insurance, the best in the business. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. It is all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And they mean a lot to us, and they say happy holidays to you. Dave Zagaro in a moment. First, our play-by-play call of the day. Rashad Perryman makes his only catch of the day.
Here's the snap. Pressure coming from the outside. Brady throws it back. Caught ball first out of the 50. Outside the numbers 40. To the 30-yard line. To the 25. It's Perryman. Rashad Perryman. Touchdown Tampa Bay. Box win in overtime.
My old friend Gene Deckerhoff with the call on the Bucs Radio Network. Gene, long time voice of the Bucs and also Florida State football and basketball. All right. Let's get Dave Zagaro in here. Dave, welcome. Great to have you with us on the show. Happy holidays to you and yours.
Yeah, you as well. Thanks for having me.
All right, Dave. So let's get to the Eagles. They had a bye week. How beneficial, in your opinion, was the timing of the bye week for this team?
Well, they needed it. I mean, it's a week 14 bye is a pretty long stretch into the season to go without a break. I mean, they had Thursday night game mixed in there, which gave them like a kind of a mini bye. But I mean, really, they needed it. It's a long time to go without having a week off. With you know the last month or so, Nick Sirianni has done a nice job. They've really kind of stopped practicing altogether on Wednesdays, making that a walkthrough day, just trying to do whatever they could to preserve their bodies. So for the most part, it's worked. I mean, this is a team that's really been hampered by injuries over the last years, and they've had a few this year, but in general they've been a healthier team in 2021, so you give them credit for that. Some of it's dumb luck, but I think they have found a pretty good way to manage that throughout the whole year.
Yeah, let's not forget who was the last team last year to have a bye. Tampa Bay. They were the last ones to have a bye last year. As a matter of fact. All right, so let's get to the Jalen Hurts. Dave, let's talk about progress. What kind of progress do you think Jalen Hurts has made? You know, we had a four-game sample size last year, bigger sample size this year. What do you like and what is still concerning?
Yeah, he has absolutely made progress. I don't think anyone could question that. He's a better quarterback right now than he was this time last year. The question is, is it enough? Is it enough for the Eagles to say, we think he's going to get to the point where he's our best option, he can be the unquestioned franchise quarterback? And I don't know if we're there yet. I have been encouraged by what I've seen from him this year, and that growth is real. It's a tough question, though, and it's one that we came into this year thinking, like, this is the biggest thing the Eagles have to figure out this season, more than anything else. More than Nick Sirianni or any other player, is Jalen Hurts capable of being the long-term franchise quarterback? And I'll tell you what my biggest fear was before the season. It was that we wouldn't have a clearly defined answer to that question. And here we are with four games left in the season, and we do not have a clearly defined answer to that question.
Right.
It's a tough thing to figure out. I think a lot of people were hoping the answer would kind of slap you in the face. Either he is or he isn't. It feels like we're in a kind of a middle ground where maybe he is. We've seen growth. We've seen improvement. But is it enough? Because there are still the deficiencies that show up more often than you'd like, and particularly when it comes to him as a pure thrower. So it's going to be a tough question for the franchise to answer, and a lot of it's going to come down to their other options. You know, are they better off sticking with Hurts than they are trading for a quarterback or drafting a quarterback and then, you know, having fewer other assets to build a team around that player? It's a tricky question, and I don't think there's a clear-cut answer right now.
Right, it is. It also puts them in the middle ground because the Eagles are in an interesting spot, Dave, in that the NFC is a bastion of mediocrity. You've got Arizona, Green Bay, right at the top at this point. But then you've got Washington at 6-7 right now in a playoff spot. At least everybody in the AFC is over 500. Even those that are on the outside looking in are 500 or better. Are we looking at fool's gold in some ways because of how poor the NFC is?
I guess in some ways. I mean, it really depends on what you're talking about. If we're talking about, you know, are the Eagles really a playoff team? I think we know the situation here. I still think it's better for them. You know, I think there's always this argument with fans. Is it better for them to make the playoffs or miss them? To me, it's obviously, right, they want to get in the playoffs. It's
no
better
question
for the franchise.
I agree with you.
It's better for the young head coach. It's better for the young quarterback. So even if they make it to the playoffs, I don't think anyone is thinking that they're, you know, really going to make a deep playoff run, that they're serious contenders. So from that standpoint, it's not fool's gold. I think we kind of understand the situation here. This isn't a great team. This is a team that does have some talent. This is a team that is trying to figure out how to rebuild without blowing it up. And it looks like they're making some strides there. It's going to be a big year for them, not only with the Jalen Hurts question, but they're going to have three first-round picks. And those three first-round picks don't look as valuable right now as they did a month ago. A month ago, it looked like they might have three in the top 10. But they still could have three in the top 20 or so. So, I mean, that's a huge opportunity for this team to get some real difference makers in them.
Yeah, there's no question about that. They do have some difference makers in there. Do they have enough defense to get there, do you think, Dave? Is there enough defense to get to the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. These are four winnable games down the stretch.
Wow, we're seeing the benefit of a last place schedule here. That's what I mean. This is, I mean, they've got the gift of all gifts.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, but that's like you talk about fool's gold. I don't think anyone is looking at this saying, well, if they win these four games, they're going to the Super Bowl. I think it's, yeah, they have this in front of them right now: two against Washington, one against the Giants, and then Week 18 at home against a Cowboys team that might not have much else to play for. Yeah, I think their defense has enough to win enough down the stretch to make it to the playoffs. Are they ultimately a talented enough unit to ever be a contender as they are right now? No, I mean, they're not. They have a few key players. You know, they have Darius Slay, who is playing about as well as any cornerback in the league this year. And they have Javon Hargrave, who's been very good. They have a few players who have played well, but I also think Fletcher Cox is now past his prime. Brandon Graham out for the season with an Achilles injury. He's going to be 34 next year. So it's really time for them to replenish the talent on that defense, and having three first-round picks ought to help.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was talking with Sam Charchetti last week from the Inquirer, and we were talking about the Flyers. And of course, the Flyers have always done enough to keep themselves relevant. And so I asked him, I said, do you think the fans are in the mood in Philadelphia for hockey and a rebuild? And he said, you know what? I actually think they are. How do you look at the Eagles? You know, they're in that odd spot. Would the Eagle fans be interested in a full rebuild because you talked about some guys that are past their prime or hurt? or do you like the spot that they're in where they can transition and still be successful? How do you view that, Dave?
Yeah, I don't think you need a full rebuild in the NFL. I think it varies from league to league. And there have been so many success stories. There's so much parity in the NFL. A team will be, you know, right, kind of an awful team, and then they get a few new players, and all of a sudden the new coach, and they're in the playoffs a year later. We've seen that. I mean, Doug Peterson went to the Super Bowl in his second year as the head coach here. So,
right, yeah.
It's not that I don't think fans would be up for a full rebuild if that was the best route. I just don't think it's necessarily the best route. I mean, I think that they're trying to find a blend of experienced veterans and young players. Ultimately, it comes down to drafting well and having the homegrown talent. Even when you look back at the way they won the Super Bowl, it was kind of a unique way. I mean, they hit on just about every free agent signing that year, and that hasn't been the case since. So you can't rely on that. You have to draft well. But you don't have to do a full rebuild in the NFL. You don't have to tear it down to build it up. You can kind of do it in steps that this is where you are. And yeah, sometimes teams get caught in that middle ground. You know, they're 8-8 every year. That old thing. You think about like the old Rams. Like, there's in the middle. It's actually like tough to stay in that middle in the NFL. So. I think they actually have a pretty good strategy right now. It all comes down to, will they draft the right players? And if you're concerned about that, I certainly understand that.
Right. No, that's exactly right. It's going to be how they evaluate the talent. So what do you think of this week's game? What are some of the keys this week?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And now the latest news is that Jonathan Allen is on the COVID-19 list. So, I mean, the Washington's pretty banged up right now. We don't know who their quarterback is going to be. Terry McLaurin is in the concussion protocol. Their best defensive player is now in danger of missing this game. I don't know if the Eagles are going to sweep them. It's not like they have to sweep them to make the playoffs, but it's almost like they have to win both games against Washington. It kind of feels like they're getting them at a good time. Maybe there's some magic left there if Allen needs a start and they rally around him, but I don't know. I think this is a very winnable game for the Eagles, especially if we're talking about I really thought Jonathan Allen in this game had a chance to do some real damage, really that entire interior line. But if they don't have to worry about him in this game, that changes everything, because the Eagles are coming into this with, yes, Landon Dickerson's played very well at guard, but Jason Kelsey's been banged up recently at center, and right guard, they're without Jack Driscoll for the rest of the season, so they're down to their third right guard. I thought the interior of the line this week was going to be a huge advantage for Washington. All of a sudden, it might not be. So I'm kind of leaning Eagles early in the week.
Right.
It feels like a good situation setting up for them right now.
What can Miles Sanders mean down the stretch, Dave?
Yeah, he's got to stay healthy. It's been the ankles now hurt him for a while. You mentioned the bye week. It came at a good time for him, I'll tell you that much, because that ankle, he tweaked it again late in the Jets game. So if he can stay healthy, he's going to be a big part of this team and a big part of the offense. It's becoming a real question of whether or not he can stay healthy. And it's a shame because he's a very talented runner, and he should be a big part of the offense. I'm starting to wonder if they can really rely on him. It's a shame to say that, but we'll see. If he's healthy, he needs the ball. I think he's proven to be a good enough player where he needs the ball, but the running back rotation is going to be interesting because they have Jordan Howard likely coming back from a knee injury after the bye. They still have Boston Scott, and they have the rookie Kenny Gainwell, who is – the most polished receiver of that bunch. So
right.
It's not going to be a super easy thing to figure out what this rotation looks like. And I don't think Sirianni even wants to keep four active on game day. So someone is probably going to be the odd man out. And the last time they had all four healthy, it was Gainwell. But since then, he's looked pretty good. So I'm not exactly sure how it shakes out. But if Miles is healthy, he should be the lead back. He should get the most carries. He should get the most touches.
Dave, great pleasure as always. Thanks so much for the wonderful insight. Appreciate you very much.
Absolutely. Take care.
Dave Zagaro, NBC Sports Philly. Matt, of course, rooting for opposing team's players to have COVID.
Matt, come on. We'll never do that. But, yeah, J.P. Finley from NBC Sports Philly, who we've had here on the show, said Jonathan Allen tested positive for COVID. He is vaccinated, yeah. So he just needs the two negative tests 24 hours apart. This 10 days would end Saturday. But apparently three other Washington players have tested positive, is what he's hearing.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on that. And another big key player that was already out last week because of COVID was Montez Sweat.
Right.
So, yeah, Dave's absolutely right. The Eagles might be getting Washington at a good time right now. But it looks like Heinicke will play, though, this week.
Oh, he's actually a legitimate quarterback. You got problems. All right, we'll take a break. Nate Bauer, final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Backfield pressure. Heinicke is decked. Down he goes. The ball is loose. It's picked up by Dallas and Armstrong. He's got a convoy. He's going to walk. Parsons with the sack, forced a fumble, and Dorrance Armstrong. Been third and long all day. Parsons coming again, and he got him again! Micah Parsons is unblockable.
Mike had another great game yesterday. I'll be honest with you, some guys make the transition in something that is so difficult, easy. You know how good you have to be to make it look that easy? In talking to Bill O'Brien over the years, Bill would tell me, he says, going from high school to college is a gigantic leap. He says, going from the college to the pros, he says, is a chasm. And that's the way it is. And somebody makes it look that easy, it's remarkable. Now, typical of Matt, he plays, obviously because it benefits the Eagles, because the Eagles actually, can't help themselves. They actually need other people to just keep losing. Are you capable of helping yourself at all? I thought you guys did a great job against the Giants.
I can't help that we had a former Penn Stater help my NFL team. It just worked out that way. But I would have played it either way.
Of course you would. You're consumed with hate. We're not good enough to win ourselves, but we're good enough to have other people lose for us. All right. No offense, that's not good. Tell me I'm wrong.
No. Just ask me trying to watch the Steelers Thursday night.
Well, that's a problem. That is a problem. It's interesting, but Washington came back and they made a game of it at the end. That happened a lot yesterday. Baltimore down and out. No Lamar Jackson. Looks like they're done for. Now you look back at the first half, the biggest play of the game was the strip. Sack, fumble recovery, and run back by Myles Garrett for a touchdown. It just seemed like just another one of those, okay, that's just going to make the final score look worse kind of plays. And guess what? That was what proved to be the winning points. They had a lot of games like that yesterday in the NFL. Tonight's a pretty good game, though.
Big game tonight.
Is there anybody you need to lose tonight or whatever?
Not really. I wouldn't mind if the Rams lost tonight. I'd rather see them lose tonight, but it doesn't matter. I just sit back and relax, and if the Rams lose, it's just a bonus, but that's all right.
Okay, so you actually will be able to watch a game.
That is correct.
like I do all the time.
Yes. ESPN and ABC tonight.
Oh, goody. Yay. Well, it'll still be a good game anyway. I think.
Back-to-back weeks for ESPN.
Yeah, no, they've had, back-to-back weeks, good games, no question. All right, today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, whatever it may be. You're going to be with an insurance agency that does the best for you because customer service means everything to them. Everything. So important that they do that. And during this holiday season, as Season just said, more than ever, they're there for you. It is all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in pre-owned inventory as well with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And again, it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And by the way, don't forget that they have a fabulous service department, including inspections. Okay. A lot going on with Penn State. I delved into it during the 3:30 half hour after Matt was done complaining about something. I don't know what that deal was.
It was just ripping on Urban once again, but that's all right. Much better topic.
Yeah. So let's get into some of the areas I delved into in the 3:30 half hour with Nate Bauer from On3.com. Sir, welcome back. Always a pleasure.
Hey, what's going on?
If I knew, I'd tell you. No.
I don't believe that.
Let's start with this. I opened up today and I said, you know what? We know how the season played out. But I think the last 10 days and then leading into Wednesday, which will be about a two-week period, to me there's been one box after another check that are happen to be positive news, in my opinion. James gets a contract extension. Sean Clifford's coming back. Manny Diaz ends up getting hired. A recruiting class that a lot of people are praising. I think that's a lot of boxes, in my opinion, that checks on the positive. How do you look at it?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Obviously, I'm seeing a direct fan reaction to it, and I think there's probably a vocal minority who, I don't know if it's disappointment. I don't exactly know how I would describe it, but like, you just don't see college careers that span this long all that often. And so with the Clifford news, I found it to be kind of a curious reaction in some ways. Like, understanding the quality of the guys that are about to come into the program for Penn State, they're still 18-year-old kids, right? Like, they're taking high school classes today.
Mm-hmm. I noticed.
So, this expectation that in some way it is better for the immediate health of the program to have those guys walk into a room that is literally, obviously knowing that Taquan Roberson is transferring out, that would literally have been three guys what, 19 years old or younger? That's not good. Like, there's no world where even a five-star, two four-stars, that there is no world where that's your preference if you're Penn State. And so to get Sean Clifford back means that, one, you don't have to go to the transfer portal and pull anybody in who you don't know. You don't know about those different elements when you bring somebody from outside in. Now you have a kid coming back in Sean Clifford who just exemplifies what you want, right? Like, whether or not people are totally on board with his performance in 3 years as a starter, that's kind of beside the point at this point. He won – what were the awards that he won last night, Steve?
He won the senior award, most valuable senior. He also was honored for being a finalist for the Campbell Award, you know, things like that.
And community service.
Community service award because of Big Brother, Big Sister.
He does everything right. He is the personification of what you want in an experienced quarterback. He sets the tone for the room. He sets the tone for the team. And if you can get all of your players to buy in and do the things that Sean Clifford does day in and day out in terms of his preparation, the way he approaches the game, you're going to be in great shape. And so that is an overwhelming win to be able to get a guy like that to give it another shot, to give it another go-round.
Well, I have another way of looking at it, and it's this. Who is the Heisman Trophy winner? Bryce Young. Did he have to play last year at Alabama? No, he learned from Mac Jones. Jones, he learned from Tua Tagovailoa. Tua Tagovailoa learned from Jalen Hurts. Oh, who's another finalist? C.J. Stroud. Did he have to play last year as a freshman? No. He learned from Justin Fields. I mean, I think that it is invaluable to the two young people that are coming in that they're going to be in a quarterback room with that kind of experience in the room that is willing to tell them about the ins and outs of how the game is played at this level, to go with an offensive coordinator that's telling them the same thing. When a peer's doing that, I think it's invaluable for those two young people coming in.
100%. 100%. And, you know, we like to have this conversation about Trevor Lawrence as though Trevor Lawrence was somehow the norm. And people forget it took him a month and a half to earn the starting job, right?
Like,
James Franklin and Mike Yurcich will have decisions to make, right? Like, they always do. This is what happens at every position on the field. It is magnified and prioritized at quarterback. No question about it. Does Sean Clifford have an advantage going into next season? Absolutely, purely based on the fact that he has that experience. That is an invaluable component of what that position means to the program. However, and people don't want to hear this, I get it, but if Drew Aller comes into the program at Penn State and just destroys everyone, is just so phenomenal, so incredible, he learns everything, he knows the playbook inside and out, it's second nature, he's just spectacular. If you don't think that Penn State is going to choose that quarterback because he has demonstrated himself as being head and shoulders above everybody else, that it's just obvious, you're crazy. They want to win.
That's one of the more comical things. I mean, to be honest with you, every time I hear somebody, and you know, I'll go out and speak to groups, and the one thing you try to do is you try not to give that puzzled look like it's such a bizarre comment. You're trying to be respectful. And you look at I've looked at people when they've said that to me. They don't play the best guys. Well, number one, you don't know who the best guys are. Okay. Right. Hey, what do you think? They sit in the room and say, you know what? I think it would be a more competitive game if we played this guy instead of him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
They're trying to play the 35 best guys they got because it gives them the best chance to win. They're not sitting there saying, you know what? Why don't we play this game with one arm behind, tied behind our back? I know he's not ready yet, but what the heck? Let's give it a shot.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy, and he's been loyal to the program. So he's very clearly not as good or competent, but we're going to go with him just because he's earned it. That's right. Not how it works.
It's not how it goes. If you
it's
are, if
not
you're
how
the,
it works.
If you're the best guy, you play.
There is a backside reality to this, that there are considerations that are made sometimes when it comes to the transfer portal. And
yes.
Right, in terms of keeping guys involved, those
yes.
different things. Sean Clifford does not meet that qualification anymore.
Right.
He is returning to Penn State. This is his last season of college football. Regardless of how it goes, that's it.
Right.
He's at Penn State this coming season. Well, and so you're not sparing anybody's feelings. Your main approach is simply identify the guy who gives you the best chance to win. Odds are overwhelmingly in favor that that's going to be Sean Clifford. Well, but if it is not, they'll go with a different option.
They'll go with the other option. Right, that's why Will Levis did really well this year. And I'm a big Will Levis fan. He's a great guy, has a lot of great natural gifts. No getting around it. But as somebody who stood out there and watched between the two of them, I'm going to guess I've probably seen them throw maybe 10,000 passes each. Right? I'm not kidding. That's not an exaggeration. There's no doubt who the starting quarterback should have been.
Yep.
No offense.
Yeah.
I watched his 10,000 and his 10,000, and I'm telling you who the starting quarterback should have been. They picked the right guy.
Correct. And people want to go back to Christian Hackenberg. There are all kinds of considerations that go into it. Sometimes even being that you don't want to put a guy into a situation that he's not ready for, even if he does have talent.
Oh, my goodness.
Like
that's worst.
A big part of it as well.
You can set you can set a guy back a long period of time if they play him too soon. I always felt that way about Bo Nix. I always did.
100%. So, no, it is a fascinating time. I don't know about you, Steve. It's really funny because the season ends at Michigan State. The regular season ends at Michigan State for Penn State. I get home from that, and all you want to do, really, at least for my side of the business, and I'm assuming you're the same way, just kind of unplug your brain for a minute, right? It's just nonstop, this onslaught. And that's not what college football is anymore. There is no breath in between the last game and really the bowl game. It is nonstop in December, and that is exactly what it has been. You're seeing these coaching changes. You're seeing decisions that need to be made from players coming back, not coming back.
Right.
And then you're also seeing the recruiting side of things as well. I mean, it is just a frenzy of activity right now.
Now, Manny Diaz, all right?
Yep.
If I've talked between Bob Shoop and Brent Pry over the years, I can't begin to tell you the number of times that when we're just talking in general about the business, how many times each one of them brought up Manny Diaz's name to me. Okay?
Yeah.
So I've always followed his career in one way or another because those two always talked about him in one way or the other. I thought this was a home run hire because I think as a defensive coordinator, he has shown he's got chops.
Look, we can acknowledge that there were other possibilities out there. I think there were other situations, scenarios where you know, it was easy to kind of see the direction that this was heading in terms of candidates who were identifiable. But there were interesting caveats kind of to everybody, but this is a guy with play calling experience. Right? Like, he has done this specific job. And frankly, would still be a head coach at Miami if the one guy on earth that Miami wanted had chosen not to go to Miami.
That's right.
So, I think that if you're Penn State, if you're James Franklin, to have made this work, to have been able to arrange this and have it work out this way, it is a clear, clear win. Clearly, he has the numbers to back it up, which is all fine. But the thing that kind of stood out to me, based on what James Franklin specifically was replacing from the angle of Brent Pry, is this guy has to be a good guy.
Yeah,
like it doesn't seem like that big of a deal from the outside, but you need a team cooperative atmosphere among your coaching staff.
Yep.
And to be able to feel like you've lost this very critical ingredient in your coaching success and your team success over the last 6 years, but be able to replace it with a guy who has a reputation as being really well liked by his players.
Yes.
Really well liked by his peers is a major win. I think that there are huge shoes to fill. Like, let me just put that out there. Brent Pry and the production, I get that there are complaints. There are things that everybody would like to see better. But when your defense doesn't give up more than 30 points to an opposing offense in any game during the course of a season, and most of those games were in the 20 or under 20 range, that is spectacular.
Yeah.
that is spectacular defense. So to be able to replace that, it's going to be a tall task for Manny Diaz, but it's one that certainly I think Penn State's going to feel optimistic about.
Yeah, the first time I met Manny, believe it or not, was in Huntington, West Virginia. Penn State was playing Marshall in basketball, and Louisiana Tech was playing Marshall for the Conference USA Championship at Marshall. And we happened to stay in the same hotel that Friday night. And so I actually had a chance to sit down and talk to him a little bit because both Bob and Brent had talked to me about him. So I'm like, well, this is an opportunity to seek this guy out and talk to him a little bit.
Sure.
And brilliant. Great defensive mind. You see what he did. I mean, when he went back to Miami as the DC, the numbers they put up right away were just phenomenal.
Yep.
So.
Yep. No, I not the same experience, but I've been doing this for a while at this point. So
I noticed.
Believe it or not, but I know some people who have been colleagues of his in the past, and so it's easier now than it had been a decade ago to send a text and just say, hey, how do we feel about this guy? You've worked with him or you've been around him. The response was overwhelming. Just a good dude.
Yeah, exactly.
A good guy who has performance to back it up.
Right, that has performance to back it up. Now you got the recruiting class coming up, and that's the next part of all this. Yep. Then we'll find out, from James on Friday and from everybody on Friday about who wants to do what, when, and how moving forward for the bowl game. So.
Yep. Yeah. No. I think that the recruiting angle is always fascinating to me because people want it to be immediate.
Yes.
And it's not. It's not.
I just did a basketball game Saturday in East Lansing.
Yep.
Where Gabe Brown and Marcus Bingham play both really, really well. And Gabe Brown and Marcus Bingham, the first 2 years they were in the Michigan State program, were cheerleaders on the sideline waving towels.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Now they're critical players into what they're doing, and both are very good college players. I'm not saying they're pros. They're college players. But they're both very good. It's amazing how everybody develops on their own clock.
Yep. Yeah. And I think it is just a natural byproduct of college athletics that it's not an accident that so many of the teams that you see, I'm not saying that there aren't examples here and there of a guy who can come in and make an impact. It happens, right? It happens all the time.
Sure.
Cameron King saw it this year.
Sure.
But generally speaking, if your team is made up of juniors and seniors who are holding down the most the key priority positions, you're going to find the most success. Those are the teams that typically find themselves in the NCAA tournament in basketball, and those are the teams that typically find themselves in the playoffs in college football. And so, for as much as excitement as I think is deserved surrounding this Penn State class that is about to come in and about to sign on Wednesday, so much of it is going to be the dividends will be provided in 2-3 years down the line.
Absolutely.
That's what the expectation should be. And I think even with the Taquan Roberson news today, it's, okay, you've started to see some outgoing. Guess what? There's going to be some incoming.
Yeah, exactly.
On the back side of this.
Absolutely.
Which we have not seen yet, but will be very, very interesting to see in terms of immediate results.
No question. We always get immediate results when we talk to you. So.
Ah, stop.
I mean, that's
flush.
Oh, what the heck, you know? They just point me toward whatever I talk. All right, so, okay.
Fair. I love it.
Hey, Steve, talk. Okay, I talk. My friend, we will talk again soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
That is Nate Bauer on 3.com. I just got a text message from the suit. Wants to know if I'm going to the party on Sunday.
I got that same text. I thought I RSVP'd. I did RSVP, actually.
It just seemed like it was a plea for numbers. I don't know. We'll come back with more in a moment. Maybe if we offered more than just, like, mini dogs. I mean, you know. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Tomorrow we'll talk recruiting with Ryan Snyder. This Penn State class is staying intact. That's big news. And we'll talk to Ryan about that. And also about the reaction the quarterbacks have to having Sean Clifford come back. I think it will be the kind of perspective I think fans will find very interesting. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.